It's the Score North Twin Show.
And welcome into the Score North Twin Show. It's Judd. It's a Declan. Phil on assignment. He will be around for our Vikings. Write that down. He will be around for the traditional. Write that down. But he's not around for this. But Declan, before we get into the topic du jour, which is actually going to be the cuts the Twins are starting to make, or I should say they're not cuts. They're optioning guys across a parking lot in Florida. Let's talk about the new Score North Twins YouTube channel, which is all the rage. I see that the announcement that Trevor Plouffe is going to join us for Trevor Tuesdays starting March 19th, or just us perhaps, has set off a flurry of activity, a flurry of subscribers. Tell people more about the new Score North YouTube Twins channel.
So yeah, all the Twins content on YouTube will be found at the Score North YouTube, the Minnesota Twin, the Twins Score North YouTube channel. I should say that as a mouthful, but the Score North Twins channel. It's a new channel we launched. You already helped us get over to like 1,500 subscribers in a week plus, which is incredible. So thank you so much. Yes, Trevor Tuesdays will be part of that. We'll still have our full strength Twin show. I know Mackie on quote unquote rehab assignment right now. He's literally on assignment from this show. But we'll have this full show during the course of the regular season as we ramp up and getting closer. And plus, I've been teasing a little bit, but we've been putting finishing touches on a bonus section of Twins content that we'll be announcing very, very soon that I personally am very, very excited for as well. So stay tuned for that. But yes, thank you. Hit the subscribe button. The more people that build, the more people that like the channel, it helps spread the word a little bit. We're starting from scratch on a new YouTube channel. We won't get into too much of the minutia of how that goes in. But we appreciate everyone that has subscribed, so thank you. Thank you very much. And if you're still on Apple, Spotify, you're all good. Continue to give us 5-star reviews. We appreciate it. Thank you. Yep, you're good there.
Awesome stuff. All right, let's get to it. The Twins have started to make some moves as far as putting together the opening day 26-man roster. I think March 28th against Kansas City. In Kansas City is the opener. We get news yesterday that Austin Martin, who we had considered a borderline, he might make the team. Now, this is before some moves were made because it would have been probably as an outfielder. Austin Martin, among those who has been optioned to the minor league camp. Tell me what has caught your eye so far in, I think it's been two moves within the past, or two waves of moves, I should say, within the past few days.
Yeah, so the Twins, after the recent roster cuts, they made cuts on Monday. They've made options on Tuesday, and now they're down to 44 players in camp. I'll get into those names in just a bit. Austin Martin being one of them. And I think in January, before any really activity started with the Twins, before the Polanco trade happened, before even any of these signings happened, I would probably say Austin Martin had about a coin flip chance, maybe even a little bit better to be on the opening day roster. Mm-hmm. But I think Manuel Margot's acquisition just completely pushed those odds down the drain. And that doesn't, upset me necessarily. Manuel Margot is a capable swingman outfielder that can play multiple positions. Been in the bigs for a little bit. He's a right-handed bat too. Austin Martin, I believe, a switch hitter. So there's a few things in there at works. But Austin Martin needs, I think, still prove that he has a little bit more pop in his bat. He can walk. I think if you brought Austin Martin to the big leagues, I do think he has the eye to hang around to a degree. But the guy had next to little to no pop in the minor leagues. You got to see a little bit more there. So here's some of the guys that have been cut, including Austin Martin. Jair Camargo, the catcher we talked about a few weeks ago, I believe led the Twins minor league system in home runs last year. A ton of pop at the plate. We'll see if maybe even he does get a crack, especially if one of those injuries happens to Ryan Jeffers or Christian Vasquez. Yuni Severino, another big bat in the minor leagues. Emmanuel Rodriguez will go to Double-A. Let's see here. Other moves that have taken place so far. Simeon Woods Richardson will go to AAA. Matt Canarino will go to AAA. Encouraging thing on Canarino, I think of going to AAA being one stop away, just down the light rail spot from the green line there, if you will. He was one of their best pitching prospects. He's missed time with elbow issues. He has shown he can pitch well at Double-A. He also could be someone that I wouldn't be surprised. Injury in the starting rotation. And if it's not Louis Varland's turn, or maybe he pitched that day per se, I could see Canarito also making his debut. David Festa remains in minor league camp. I would assume that man still will start in AAA. Right now, I guess he's still, they want to observe him on the minor league camp side. There's some things there that go completely over my head to a degree. but David Festa is off. Brent Hedrick, someone that was also maybe a non-roster, or not non-roster, but someone that could be, that maybe could have surprised and made the 26-man roster. He won't make it. So after all those cuts, the Twins are now down to 44 players in camp. 10 are non-rosters, 22 are pitchers, 9 are infielders, 6 are outfielders, and 2 utility players, plus 1 on the 60-day IL. So we're getting closer and closer. I will say Brooks Lee is still sticking around, a very positive sign, because they could have very well sent him down. They could have just said, you know what, there's not a room for you. There's not room for you yet.
Sure.
And here we are. He's still sticking around in Twins minor league camp, which is going around for about another couple weeks, a little less than that.
A couple things on that. Let's go back to Martin for a second, because he actually had a very unproductive season a couple of years back when they made, or when they tried to make mechanical adjustments in his swing to add power. It sounds like he pretty much abandoned those last year. His power is not great, but he started to hit. And I don't know that this is one where you're going to get the bang for your buck power-wise. And I know that's what teams want. I know that's the big thing. But the reality is this. Martin's got good speed. He can get on base. It seems to me, especially from what we saw when they sort of abandoned their plan last year to add power, Declan, that Austin Martin might be a guy who's best left alone. And if he has a little bit of pop, that's fine. But it just, I remember Dugues talked about this 2 years ago, and they were really working to try and get him to have power, and it just didn't work. I think if you want the best Austin Martin, you're probably going to have to accept him as a player. And if that's not good enough, it's not good enough. But I think the Twins should have learned a lesson in what they tried to do with Martin previously.
And I think there's two different paths you can take with, you know, minor league development. Not that I'm a minor league coordinator by any means, but you have guys kind of like Camargo, right, who are big power bats, but strike out a ton, don't get on base a ton. Are they just destroying minor league pitching and that's their ceiling? Or do you have guys like Austin Martin, who have yet to really show he can hit for power, but he knows what he's looking at the plate, very disciplined, and can that skill set translate quicker than a guy with just a big bat who's crushing minor league pitching? So there's different paths, in my opinion, that you can take and stakes you can claim for how these guys are developing. With the addition of Margot, it just pushed Martin completely out of the plans of probably making the opening day roster. Judd, I do have, though, some players that I'm encouraged by.
Okay,
at spring training. A few that I am discouraged by. Mm-hmm. So let's get into this here. I have a list. I have 4 guys on the encouraged list, just 2 guys on the discouraged list for right now. Let's start here. I'm actually going to start with someone who had all the chances and will make the opening day roster and shouldn't be a surprise, but Edward Julian looks badass, and he was badass last year. But we have not put him in the same category as, what's wrong with Alex Kirilloff? Is Matt Wallner going to make the opening day roster? We've kind of put Julian a step above both of those guys for right reasons. But in spring training, he still looks exactly like Edward Julian. He's drawing walks. He's getting hits. I am curious to see how they handle him playing lefties. I know this team loves the platoon. Baseball loves the platoon.
Right.
But Edward Julian, I don't think that there will be a sophomore slump to his game. I think there probably might be a sophomore slump to the other guys in Wallner and Kirilloff. I think Edward Julian's going to be a badass at the top of the lineup. And I'm very encouraged, even though spring training stats with all these guys, by the way, I'm about to mention, are next to meaningless, to see Edward Julian be Edward Julian in St. Paul with, you know, not playing baseball in 4 or 5 months is an incredible sign.
I think Julian can flat out just hit. I also think, to be fair to him, I think Kirilloff can too. I think Kirilloff has been severely curtailed by the rash of injuries, and that is taken away from him. In both cases, with Kirilloff and Julian, what I'm the most curious about, how the gloves play. Mm-hmm. And like Julian, I think, worked his butt off. And I don't doubt that. He seems, he's, you know, I think he's French-Canadian. And he seems like he's got some hockey player to him.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a surly cuss at times, which, by the way, is a compliment. That's a great thing. I want my athletes to have an edge. And I think Julian went home or to Florida and worked really, really hard. So I guess my question about him is he going to be a more complete player? I don't think, and I'm not saying that he won't slump at times. I'm sure he will. All baseball players do. But I don't. He doesn't strike me as the type of guy who's going to come in and take a big step back now. In the Twins' defense here, they definitely had an inkling a little bit more when they traded Arise than the fan base and us did, right?
For sure.
Like, I think they had an inkling that this kid would be... Now, I don't know that they thought it would happen as fast as it did, and credit to him, it did, especially with the bat. But I think that there was probably a little bit of a prediction that Julian was going to replace Arise. And if you go back, Arise was not exactly a great glove man himself, played some first base as well. He was okay. But yeah, I could see Julian being the type of guy to basically pick up at the plate where he left off and be very successful. But you're right about the platoons. That's going to be the most, because I think they're going to start the season platooning. I guess the question is there some point in time where you decide, you know what, screw it, we're going to give him a chance? Don't think it's going to be in April. Yep. But I'll be surprised if he continues on the track that we saw previously, if it's not at some point in the summer.
And look, platooning, it works. There's a reason why baseball's done it, and no one's really gotten away from it because it typically works. Just because Edward Julian might not start doesn't mean you could see him in the game by the fifth inning in a key at bat when obviously a right-hander's brought in with how pitching staffs are managed now. So it's not even like platooning where back in the day everyone's throwing 200 plus innings and going six or seven and you might only get one at bat as a guy coming off the bench. True. This is a situation now where even if you're platooning, you see pinch hitting moves being made in the fourth or fifth inning now kind of regularly. So yeah, but I am curious how they, because they've given Max Kepler kind of the benefit of the doubt still against left-handed pitching in his career, and it hasn't worked. But does Julian kind of take some of those at bats like they did with Kepler?
Right.
Curious on that. All right, next guy on the list. Oh, boy. You know who looks badass, and you know who just continues to have egg on his face from one of his hottest takes in his young career? Griffin Jacks looks incredible in spring training, Judd. He looks absolutely incredible.
This bullpen, man, it might be loaded. It looks like it's loaded.
His stuff is playing. He had really good stuff last year. I really appreciated and loved the piece. I think it was Dan Hayes that did it at The Athletic, of all the bad luck and just weird circumstances that were on his resume and statistics last season in terms of batted ball luck, random calls that weren't going his way down the line, foul balls that were being called fair. It wasn't fair to him. And it certainly, you know, affected some of his statistics. His ERA was ballooned. His FIP was still pretty low. He took a lot of losses on his own record because of those bad luck, and that was something that I was a little discouraged by. But again, spring training stats, not a lot of stake in this, but 5 innings, 10 strikeouts. I think we're all assuming, obviously, Duran being, you know, the trend center, the number one guy in that bullpen. And then there's kind of a lot of guys that you could say, who's the second best guy? And I've seen projections that have as Breck Stewart as one of the second best guys in the bullpen. Yep. I've seen projections that have Caleb Thielbar, a wily veteran who still is going to be very effective as a lefty. I think stuff-wise, Griffin Jacks is probably going to be the Robin to Duran's Batman. And this bullpen's loaded, by the way. There are numerous Robins to the Batman in Duran. He's not the only one. But Griffin Jacks, I think, has a chance here to be probably the second best unit and maybe even their first fireman option out of the pen before Duran.
All right. Well, that's, you've come a long way from the guy that tried to ixnay him from the, as I recall, the playoff roster at one point, right?
That is correct. I did.
I think you tried to take him off the team.
I said, I think my exact words were, I can't have him on my playoff roster.
I think you're exactly right. So now you've come around and you're a big Griffin Jacks fan. So to go back to that, in the bullpen, which again should be very good, who scares you the most? Like who are you most on the fence about? So like if Jax is your two, Duran obviously the one. Mm-hmm. Who's the guy that we're counting on? So Brock Stort, Duran, Jax, Thielbar, Topa, Oker, Jackson are look like locks.
Yep.
Which one of those guys are you a little bit on the fence about?
Well, again, bullpens are incredibly volatile. They're a lot like our goaltending conversations we have in hockey. And the Twins bullpen is projected to be probably the best in the American League on paper. But it takes a couple bad outings and a couple weird situations, right, to really balloon just general statistics. Get away from feel, but just general statistics that can really balloon things and people can overreact. I think the guys that I would probably be a little concerned with of regression, I do have Thielbar on that list. He's getting older. I don't know if I can continue to count on someone who's turned his career around. It's an incredible story. I know Royce has talked about that with him and with us about how amazing the Caleb Thielbar story is, that he basically was out of baseball for 4 years and then comes back and is even better than the first version when he was called up by the St. Paul Saints and played with them when they were an indie ball team before they were even the AAA affiliate with the Twins. Mm-hmm. He's on that list for me. Brock Stewart does look good, but he was also a non-roster invite a year ago, and he pitched really well. He had an injury that kind of set him back for a little bit, then was able to come back and look strong. As much as I think this bullpen is going to be very badass, there are going to be a couple guys that regress. I like to think that they have a good, 2015 Royals plan here where it's a super bullpen and they can take over in the sixth inning on and carry them to wins. I do think that'll be the case for the most part. But there are going to be guys on this list that aren't going to live up to their 100th percentile. I think Thielbar and Stewart are ones that I have circled as just guys to watch. I don't think they're going to hit a cliff and, completely flatten themselves.
Sure.
But those are, in my opinion, two guys that I would watch. When I look at, Jay Jackson, he's looked great in spring. I don't really have, high hope that he is the secret weapon in the bullpen.
Right, you're not going to be parading him out. Yeah.
He's going to have to get some outs, and I'm excited to watch him pitch.
Right.
But I don't really have a lot of high expectations.
Right. You're not expecting him to be put into crucial situations. The one that intrigues me as far as a potential guy who, if, and I'm sure that you're correct, if guys start to struggle, is Jorge Alcala, who can never stay healthy, but has really good stuff if he's healthy.
So fun fact, good transition here. He's on my encouraged list. He is on my encouraged list. He has missed a lot of time the last 2 years with issues, but his stuff, they have really believed in and trusted. I mean, they very well could have just outrighted him and said goodbye, and there's a lot of options in the bullpen, but they have stuck with him. Good for them, rightfully so. I think he is going to grab this last bullpen spot. If I was putting a betting favorite or at least my own money on who gets the last bullpen spot, I think it's Jorge Alcala. Now, they could send him down to AAA, and he might, again, be the first guy up in the event of ineffectiveness or injuries. But I think Alcala's stuff is just, if he is indeed healthy, it's too good to not have on the big league roster. I guess it does kind of dovetail to a degree to get a little bit ahead of myself here. Josh Starmount is, that there's not a lot there. It doesn't look like they're very encouraged by. I'm discouraged by it. If they want to put him to St. Paul,
I was
going to
say, probably needs to go to
St.
Paul. But that thoracic outlet syndrome surgery in which they remove a rib is very difficult. And he certainly probably is not going to be back until, June or something. I think he to me, because he does, somewhat surprisingly, I think, has options left. He's the type of guy that you could easily park at AAA.
Yep.
And if he comes around, great. Because a guy like that could be incredibly useful because, to your point, guys are either going to struggle or just flat out get hurt. And so I think that's a guy that you 100% park in St. Paul. And if he can get going, great. If he doesn't, it's not that big a deal.
Agreed. So yeah, I have Stomout on my discourage list. But again, how discouraged am I that Josh Stomout isn't going to make an impact or maybe make the opening day roster, right?
Yeah, that's true. He's a guy too that I think I don't want to use the word excited because that's the wrong word. He's the type of guy that when the Twins sign him, you recognize because I think he pitched for Kansas City. And so, the name. And so you're like, oh, I've seen him pitch before. And so you're like, oh yeah, this is a big league pitcher. And then you see he's coming off a fairly significant surgery. So I think when you see names, at least for me personally, that I know, at times, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And then it's like, hold on, slow down. So, yeah, discouraged is right because, back in bullpen, and that's the thing, too. Just flat out, you need depth there.
Yeah, agreed.
You just need depth there.
Agreed. One more encouraged guy, and then I'll get into one more discouraged player that we have talked about before. But an encouraged guy, maybe Jose Miranda is back. Back into the degree of he can be a big league player, and last year was just a completely lost season for him.
Yep.
Again, I'm going to keep being a broken record here. They're spring training stats, but six hits in 16 at-bats. He's drawn a couple walks. I'm curious if he might be able to grab one of the last rosters. I think it's an uphill climb. I think there might have to be like maybe even an injury that happens that we're not expecting. I don't really know how he fits into the position player puzzle to make the opening day roster as it's constructed today with no injuries.
Yep.
But I'm encouraged here. I'm encouraged here. He might be a first baseman, DH, third base, and an absolute pinch. But I don't even know if
not
they'll do
third
that
anymore. Yeah. I love this one. This is the one I was actually waiting for you to bring up because I think that this one, you nailed it. And here's why. He hurt his right shoulder last winter It might have been in the World Baseball Classic. But anyway, he, to use your words, and they're exactly right, had a lost season. Go back 2 years, got some pop in the bat. He's productive. I don't see any reason why. Like this is a guy we've written off, and I'm not quite sure why. He can DH. Look, your first basemen are Carlos Santana, who's approximately my age, and Alex Kirilloff, who, God bless him, if he can stay healthy, I love his bat, but he doesn't stay healthy ordinarily. I think Miranda is a great call, and I would not be surprised if he might not make the opening day roster. Who cares about that? But I think he's up for sure. And if that shoulder, after the surgery, the procedure that was done, is completely healed and healthy, why can't he potentially hit 15 to 20 home runs?
Yeah.
I think because it was a lost season, I think because we assumed he was primarily a third baseman, which is now Royce's job, which it should be, mm-hmm. and because of what you said, which is the numbers game at first base is fairly log jammed, I think we just said, okay, he's probably done. I say, no, no, no. I say you need depth. To go back to the 180 of our Austin Martin discussion, teams love power. Yeah, I think this one is, I think you nailed it. And I think before it's all said and done, Jose Miranda will contribute.
Yeah. One more disappointed player here. We've kind of talked about it a lot, but Matt Wallner hasn't had an encouraging spring here.
No.
20 at bats, one hit, 8 strikeouts. So swinging and missing a lot. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe they do send this guy to St. Paul to start. I would personally keep him, by the way. I would keep him on the opening day roster. I want him in left field to start the year. But I wouldn't be shocked if they ended up having this guy start in St. Paul, given the, again, addition of guys like Manuel Margot. And if Buxton is indeed healthy and be able to say play center field, Willie Castro will obviously make this roster too. Wouldn't be surprised. Sometimes with spring training stats, they do mostly mean nothing. But you'd also like to see someone like Matt Wallner come in
right
and bop the ball a little bit. And so far, through these 20 spring training at-bats, just one hit. And even when he gets into the big leagues, regardless if he had a good spring or not a good spring,
right,
there is just a scouting report on these guys that will make life much more difficult for them. And he's probably not going to be someone that is going to be able to repeat, you know, 1,000 OPS against right-handed pitching, which he had last season. So disappointed, but not like completely devastated by. I'm not devastated that Matt Wallner's not ripping the cover, or shocked.
Yeah,
but
I agree with that.
I would put him in the discouraged bin, and I think it might be an eye-opening realization for Twins fans if they do make those final roster cuts here in a week or so, mm-hmm. and Matt Wallner is maybe surprisingly not on that opening day roster.
I think part of the reason why that this could happen as well, Dex, is because Margot, so Margot is technically, I guess, in some ways you could call this the replacement for Michael A. Taylor, who replaced Buxton, who obviously didn't play center field last year. But on Margot, you know, he is very much a corner guy as well. And they acquired him for a purpose. And so I think that if you do decide that Matt is in just a deep funk and needs to work on things and get out of that funk at AAA, it's not like it's some shock that if, you know, on opening day, Margot's in left. So, yeah, I I'm with you and Phil. I mean, it's spring training. The stats don't mean a ton. Guys work on things. It's definitely at times just chalk it up to its spring training. But that being said, Wallner's at an age, and he's the type of hitter that you have to wonder if they would say, you know what, with the spring that he's had, send him to St. Paul. He is literally down the freeway. It's not like he's been banished, you know, to AAA in Toledo or something. And Margot starts in left. The other thing that this could open up a job for short term, Trevor Larnach, right?
Yep. He was a little floater for me in the encouraged bin. And he's someone I think his improvement and his signs of the plate are even bigger, in my opinion, than what Jose Miranda has shown so far. And he's a first round pick, and it's a now or never situation for him too. He's log jammed. He's starting to get up there in age. That draft class hasn't been phenomenal in the MLB, but still it was 6 years ago. And at this point, now those guys who are 22 or 18 to 22 years old are entering their mid to late 20s, and it's go time for a lot of them. And it's go time for Trevor Larnach. So they're not going to punt on him just because he's been ineffective either. So he's another guy that could be a next man up pending an injury to a Kepler or a Margot, like we just talked about. Wouldn't be surprised by that at all. I think, again, because of the state of the position players mostly having all those spots locked up, he's in AAA to start the year. But I would be watching him with a very close eye, especially, again, that's awesome that the Saints are just down the road. So if you're a Twins fan in the Twin Cities, you're able to just go watch St. Paul Saints games, I would definitely go there, and I'd watch a lot of Trevor Larnach.
Yeah, great ballpark, too. Yeah, I think Larnach and Miranda, I guess, I feel like we have, as observers of the Twins, sort of like, not thrown in the towel, but we certainly don't expect, like we've talked about Trevor possibly being traded, right? And Miranda, with the last season, we've sort of written off. And I just wonder, oftentimes the teams don't feel the same way. And I'm with you. I could see Larnach definitely getting at least one, if not a couple more shots. So good list, Dex.
Thank you.
And again, right around the corner, opening day. And don't forget to subscribe to that new Score North Minnesota Twins YouTube channel, because we're going to have a ton of programming. As Dex alluded to, major announcement coming up, and a major announcement already made, because starting March 19th, Trevor Tuesdays with Trevor Plouffe right here on the Twin Show.
All right, hit that subscribe button for Minnesota Twins Entertainment. Appreciate you guys watching. We'll be back later.